Good morning, church. It's great to see you this morning. I'll just wait for you. Just kidding. Okay. Well, I'm going to start with announcements. First of all, I just want to give a fantastic report about yesterday's 360 conference. I didn't count. Were there about 12 of us? 15 of us. So that was a really great turnout. And about 350 people up in Lansing. And we all had a great time. I know if you talk to anybody who went, they would gladly give you a snippet from their classes. In fact, we should probably do that in the next couple weeks because we did that last year. Just a little report. But if you have not gone, you should consider going. It is not just for leadership. It is very refreshing. And it's not that far away, and you get great church fellowship. You get to see what we are part of, more of Church of God, and meeting people is just really neat. And in my prayer class, I was just struck by, you know, that story, Elijah, at one point in his ministry, he goes, God, am I the only one? And then God says, no, there's 7,000 others. And that's what I'm reminded of when I go to things like that. It's so refreshing to meet other believers. So come with us next year. Okay, so we have a care team meeting this Thursday at 6:30 at Jan's. Is that right? Okay. Come check it out if you've never done that. And Fresh Food Initiative, is that what you said? Yeah, it's right in front of me. Tomorrow at 2. It's just that it's out of order, so I get confused. And then I had a couple announcements that are not on here. One, I think there is a growing desire for some kind of ladies' breakfast, maybe once a month. So feedback on that is welcome. I think that we could go to different ladies' homes. We can certainly do it here, but the house, the home is more warm. So maybe we're looking at putting that together in the next month or so. Talk to me or Jessica or Bonnie. And one more thing. Our Seder dinner is coming up. That's going to be Palm Sunday. That's in 2 weeks. So I will send out the meal sign-up thing. We had some fantastic participation last year. All of your food was delicious. So I'll put on the sign-up what, you know, we need, like, however many sides. But it's more of a menu, if you remember. There will be, hopefully, lamb again. And, Evan, we loved your, what that was, matzo ball soup. So... yeah, plan for that, and also I will need a headcount for that. So look at your calendars and then try to get back with those RSVPs as soon as you can. That's it for my announcements.
Good morning. I want you all to know that yesterday was the gathering of family. It was awesome. I cannot give enough praise for those who set it up and what they did. I have not been in God's presence like that in a long time and felt it. I know he's here this morning. I know he's here right now. And I'm glad for those moments that we have as Christians when God just is right there in the midst of our prayer times. And we talked about this on Tuesday nights, how sometimes it just feels that he's there. And then there's those other days where... Twink, twink. It just seems like they're bouncing off the ceiling. Always.
It was such a blessing for me yesterday because when Kenny and I have gone to 360 before, we were the oldest people there. And it was so refreshing to see the mixture of the ages that went from here yesterday, to watch them worship, to just watch them want to be involved in what's going on in this church.
You had to have been there. Don't even ask. That all being said, we've been looking at faith. We've been looking over it and we've been talking about it, what it is and what it does for us as believers. Gentiles are no longer separated from God or Israel. That double separation was done away with in Christ. The barriers are gone, right? We talked about that. The only thing that keeps people in general, unbelievers, from being God's people is their own selfishness and sin. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. How is it that we have no problem that there's neither Jew nor Gentile? But with that second part, where there's no, well, the third part, where there's neither male nor female. If we're all one in Christ, some aren't more than others. We're all one. I think we need to remember that as family. Yesterday, I sat underneath some of the best teaching I've had that came from a young lady that was preaching and teaching us. It was awesome. I'm glad that she did it. I also sat under Mark Richardson and his teaching, and that was awesome, and it was good. They were both anointed by God. They were both part of the family. And it was just good to hear from both of them, from those perspectives. Okay, I've got that out of the way now. I just had to say that. How we are being built together, now we are, right? Now we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians, we're going to back up a little bit into chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 19, and I'll read down through 3:13. For through Him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, and I'm going to stop right there because Paul just goes off on a tangent. Okay, that's where he stops. And if you look at verse 14, he says, for this reason again, because he was going to start to pray, and then he saw a squirrel. Or he remembered something. That's what happened. So this is what we're understanding, right? For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we all together, all of us, have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. I can't remember if it was his last imprisonment or if he was still under house arrest. But either way, he was in prison when he wrote this letter to us. And he starts out the leading into prayer, like I said, and then Well, you already saw what he did. Here in verses 2 and 7, though, we see that Paul is empowered by grace. He received divine unmerited assistance to accomplish his calling to go and preach to the Gentiles of his time. And I say it that way on purpose, to the Gentiles of his time. Which proves that when God assigns a task, he also empowers the one whom the task is given. Okay? This should encourage all of us to fulfill our calling as individuals and as his church. We will receive God's grace to accomplish all that he has commissioned us to do as a congregation of his church and as individual members of it as we walk in obedience to his word. Why would he empower you to do something that was outside of his will? Why would he empower you to do anything other than what he's asked you to do? Your boss does not pay you to do something you shouldn't be doing, right? Think of it that way. It may not be a direct context, but yes. We need to understand that as we walk in obedience to our calling as individuals and as a church, that God will bless us with what we need in that moment. We look out and we're to take a step of faith. There's nothing there to step out on. And yet God, in all his love for us, will provide when we need it. I can't stop but think about when the priests were told to take the Ark of the Covenant into the waters of the Jordan. And when the moment they got their feet wet, that the waters parted and were heaped up, as it says. They had to step out in faith. They had to go into the water to know that it was going to happen. And we miss that often. Is this going to be easy for us to take that step of faith to do what we're called to do? No. It wasn't for Paul. I can't expect it to be for us. Some things will be. But we should encourage one another to step out in faith, to do what we're called to do. It was not easy for Paul. And yet by God's grace, he was encouraging, praying for the church while he was a prisoner of Rome. And the church was the very reason he had been imprisoned. Think about that. He's writing and encouraging them, and he's there because of them. Not specifically the Ephesians, though they were part of it. His love for God and for them enabled him to overcome and write this very letter. He received what he needed, grace and strength, because of his obedience to the call. This letter of encouragement and reminder is to the mostly Gentile church in Ephesus, the saints, the faithful in Christ. It was his being an apostle to the Gentiles that got him imprisoned. The Jews, those of the law, wanted him dead. In Acts, and I encourage you to read this at another time. I'm going to read part of it here in a minute. But I encourage you to read Acts 20:17 through 22:29. And it's not part of your further reading that we have already. So I'll repeat that. Acts 20, verse 17 through 22:29. And there we read of Paul's arrest and his public testimony to a large crowd of Jews that had gathered outside the Roman barracks where he was being held. And he's telling them, that large crowd of Jews, of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And they listened intently up to a point. And I'm going to read that to you so that you can get it. This is 22, starting at verse 17. Remember, he's right in the middle of talking to them about what happened. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him, Jesus, saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And it goes on after that. Up until that point, they were listening to him. But when he said that he was sent to go to the Gentiles, they had a fit. That's literally what happened. They decided right then and there, enough. We've heard enough. Kill him. Right? So, in the end, he does get away. I'm giving it away. Yeah. But he does get away there and get to go to Rome and lives there for a few years. You'll find out. We need to understand that. What happened right there? That it was at that point. As I'm reading down through that, I didn't realize when he started to talk about the Gentiles being sent to them, they went nuts. Because he was going to something that was beyond what their understanding was. And sometimes we need to go to people that are not the right kind of people that need Christ as much as we do. In verses 3, 4, 6, and 9, we read about the mystery, right? The mystery is now revealed to the church, having been revealed by God to his people, which was in times past hidden from human knowledge, right? It wasn't being told. He hadn't revealed it yet. This mystery of Christ is that those Gentiles in the flesh are now fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promises of the long-awaited Messiah. In Christ, we are all one spiritual family, the Israel of God, his church. There is no longer Israel, there is no longer Gentile, there is only his church, and those who are outside of his church are the Gentiles that we need to be going to talk to. The unbelievers that we're called to go to talk to. How do they become a part of the church? The Bible tells us that it happens through the proclamation of the gospel. By your witness and mine, in both word and works, when you have faith that is being seen in action, believing, right? But you also have to use your words. You can't stop. It's not just actions. We have to use our words. Romans 10, verses 10 through 17. For from the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That doesn't mean you just cry out to Jesus and you're saved. It means that you're crying out to him and believing that he can save you. We hear the word Jesus Christ being used a lot outside of the church, but not in the right context of calling out to him as we're told here. We'll leave it at that. Let me back up to 13 again. This is 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How often do we go out and preach? You don't have to preach like this. It can be a teaching and a sharing of the word. That is preaching. You're sharing the word, right? That's what it comes from. Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. We need to share the gospel. We need to get it heard. Some people aren't in a place where they can hear you. As the lady that the last class I went to yesterday, she kept using these words. We need to scatter seed. Scatter the seeds. Tammy was in the class with me. They are a church of 12 people. And you should hear the ministry that they're doing. She says, all we do is scatter seeds. She said, we don't worry about how they're going to fall. What kind of soil they fall on is not our problem. Our problem is scatter the seed. If she said that 100 times, I wouldn't be surprised. Scatter the seed. That's what we're called to do. Spread the word. Let them hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them hear about how much God loves you and them and what He's done for you. They can't deny what you say. If God's done something for you and you share it, who's to fight that? You share what you know. I don't have the knowledge that some of you have. You don't have the knowledge that I have. And different, it varies from person to person. But you can share what you know. He states in verse 7, and we're talking about the gospel, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. If you think about everything that he's been saying in that context of where he's at, this gospel is a gospel of unity, peace, and the good news of the promises of God for all people. Unity, peace, and we're not talking just the absence of conflict. We're talking about that inner peace. Okay? Unity, being one, because we're made one in Christ. And all the promises of God are ours in Jesus Christ. Right? To bring to light, that's what we're called to do, for everyone, the gospel. And who holds the light of the knowledge of this mystery? Raise your hands, because it's the church. It's us. We're the one that have it. We're the ones that are share it. You and I, as parts of the church, hold the mystery of the gospel. How are they going to hear it if we're not sharing it? And we wonder why the world is going to, excuse the expression, to hell in a handbasket. Because the church has said, they'll come to us. Let's build our buildings. Let's do this really great thing. They'll come to us. And then we look around, and there's 12 of us. And then there's 6. And then there's 3. We are blessed as a congregation in Grass Lake. I was going to say Jackson County, but Grass Lake's better. In Grass Lake, to have all of us that are sitting here, all those who are watching at home, and the children. What a blessing. You don't know what it's like to be in front of a congregation that has no children. It breaks your heart. We are truly, truly blessed. And we need to share that blessing, not of just the children, but of the gospel with those who do not know the gospel. That mystery, that manifold wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God is ours to share. What an awesome responsibility. What a privilege that we have as Christians and believers that we hold the manifold mystery, the love that words, of God. It's us. We are messengers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, and witnesses of the grace and mercy of God. Do you not know that your changed life, that you're living out the promises of God, that your obedience to the word is a witness of the power of the gospel to change lives? That's awesome. That should, your very changed life is going to make other people think about it. Well, how do they say that in The Chosen? I was one way once and now I'm different. And now I'm not. All of us have that. All of us can share that. You share the gospel with your actions and with your words. And that sharing starts and ends with your neighbor. Your neighbor. As we are to love them as we love ourselves. This is our responsibility as Christians and as the church. We do not, as believers, go to church. We are the church. We are the church. Yesterday I saw the church. Not just the church of God, because there were some folks there from the Nazarenes that were there visiting us. We came together as the church to learn and to grow. And we did. And we celebrated and we worshiped. And we were blessed. The body of Christ, that's who we are. And we have a purpose. We have a reason to exist. The writings of the apostles and the prophets are ours. We hold divine mystery of God, and we are empowered by the Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, to spread the gospel, to go and make disciples. We are a sent people. Jesus said to the disciples, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." You're not sent to go to Bob Evans this afternoon. You're not sent to go over to Walmart and pick up a bag of chicken or over to Frank's? We're not sent over to Frank's to get chicken. We're sent out into the world with a purpose. I'm going to go off on a tangent. It's good. It comes together. Trust me. We're not called to change our lives, to add something in to make disciples. Follow me on this. You're not asked to add one more thing in your long list of things to do. You're not. You make disciples by your witness. You make disciples where you're at, in the moment you're at any given moment. You don't add to, you just live the life that you're called to live as a Christian. We make it so much harder than what it is. They're not going to reject you. They're rejecting the gospel. To quote our sister, plant some seeds. Plant some seeds. Don't add it in. Just do it where you're at. You come here, you get recharged, you learn, you grow. We come together as a church maybe two or three times during the week, maybe once or twice. We get to know one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. We bear with one another. Jan. You're just jealous because you didn't say it first. No, God is so good to us. And we laugh and we carry on, but with a purpose. And that purpose is Jesus Christ. That purpose is to save souls, to lead them to the one who can save them. And that purpose is yours and mine. We can't forsake that. God chose to be gracious to Paul And he chooses to be gracious to each of his children, as we too are ministers or servants, depending on your translations, according to the gift of God's grace. These gifts, and that's plural, are given by the Spirit. But I would say that the actual gift is the Spirit, because he empowers and enables and gifts as he pleases for the common good of the church, to fulfill, to help us or empower us to fulfill our calling and purpose. And each of us, every one of us who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, are gifted with a spiritual gift. Everyone. Not just me, not just a couple of us, all of his children are gifted for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12:7. I looked at Paul's life and I'm looking at how he lived and what he had to do to write these letters. What had to empower him? What enabled him to do this? And I pray that we would remain as humble and as bold in our witness as what Paul was. Paul considered himself the least of all the saints. That's what we read today. He knew that he had done, he knew what he had done trying to destroy the church. He talked about it. But he also knew he was forgiven and called to serve, just as we are. All the mystery of God's plan, all the promises of God's people are ours because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, not because of anything we did. How does verse 11 put it? God's eternal purpose is realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's realized in him. And he's been given all authority and he told us to go. It is by faith in him that we, the church, have boldness and access to the very throne of grace. And it is in that faith that we go to him in confidence, knowing that he will hear our prayers, that he will strengthen us, that he will help us and be with us in all that the enemy in the world would throw at us. That is a fact. That is a fact that each of us must embrace by faith. We have to. We have to. It's something that the church must take to heart. God is with us. God is for us. God wants what's best for us. And he will empower us to do what he's called us to do. In the very last verse of this passage, we again see the example Paul gives us of selflessness and humility. He does not want his circumstances in any way to destroy his witness or their spiritual growth and understanding of the gospel, right? Shouldn't we want the same thing for Christ and his church? Are we being humble and yet bold in our witness? Are we sharing the gospel? Really stop and think and examine your life over the last week, month, year. You pick. When was the last time you shared the gospel with anyone? When was the last time, as was brought up this morning, that we prayed for that one person? Who's your one? That was a campaign here a while back. Who is your one that you're going to pray for, talk to, and invite and disciple to Christ? Who's your one? Because we all need to have that one that we're praying for. Some of us have been praying for family members for years. I'm one. But I'm not going to stop praying. And I'm going to ask for opportunities to share the gospel. Are we willing to be a part of the church in spreading the gospel? Are we willing to do what God has asked us to do as individuals and as members of His church? His church. Are we willing to be the people that we're called to be? Because if we are, then we have to do what we're called to do. We have a lot of knowledge. I think you mentioned it this morning to me. We have a lot of knowledge, but we're not using it. We have the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. We just don't always put it into practice. It's real easy to ignore the pastor and what he has to say. I'm being honest. I was sitting where you were. But if it was a pillar of fire up here with lightning jutting out of it every now and then, and you heard the voice of God saying you should do the same things that I'm telling you, make a big difference. One of two things would happen. You fall all over yourself getting out that door to go do what He told you to do, or fall all over yourselves to get out that door just to get away. And believe me, I'd be right there with you. I'm inviting you to come and pray this morning for a boldness to do what God's called you to do. I'm inviting you to come and pray for forgiveness for anything that might have gotten in the way between you and God. Anything that you've put ahead of God, made a priority over Him. I'm asking you to come and pray this morning for your brothers and sisters who are here this morning and those who are at home. I'm asking you to come and pray this morning for that one person that you know that does not know Jesus Christ and is headed in the wrong direction right now. Would you stand as the praise team comes? Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your love and mercy toward us, that You have empowered us and enabled us through Your Spirit to be the church that You've called us to be. Open our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts, Lord. Convict us. And then, Lord, revive us to live for You and not for our own selfish desires. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we give You praise that You have blessed us so abundantly. Lord, we look for the opportunity that Your grace would empower us to step out in faith in the boldness that You give us to share the gospel. We pray for that boldness. We pray for those words that only You can give us in that moment, Lord, to be witnesses of Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. For the forgiveness, Lord, that You offer so freely. In Jesus' name, help us to share. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Actually, stick around and have some time of fellowship.